Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Monter for the workday afternoon. While starting a family is an exciting and fulfilling time for many people, the stigma of infertility to external pressures from family and friends can sometimes be incredibly overwhelming. Several studies have also shown that women with infertility have higher rates of anxiety and depression, which can indirectly impact conception outcomes. Today on Health Suites, we look at all the challenges of fertility and the potential pressures on couples that could arise. Next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today I'm joined on the phone by Dr. Janice Tung, consultant, ONG at Thompson Fertility Centre. We talk about the fertility journey and how to stay on an even keel through all the challenges that a couple might face. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Hello. Hi.
All right. Now, first, why don't you give us a better idea of some of the challenges couples have with fertility? Maybe let's talk about the age of couples you see with some of these issues as well.
Okay, so we have, obviously two different age groups, the younger one and the older one, mm-hmm. The younger meaning the under 30s. Yeah, so in this group, most of them are just exploring options. Yeah, so they come for information. So one of the challenges they really face is a lot of misinformation outside, like, you know, stuff from online and everything, and how they track their cycles and how they find their ovulation window. There's a lot of information out there that they can't really digest, or they get they actually misinterpret.
Right.
Yes. And then the other, issues that they face is why they're so young and then they can't get pregnant. So it's the unexplained group. And also in this younger age group, when they cannot get pregnant for a long period of time, it generally there's a higher tendency towards there being a low sperm count in the male, which goes undetected.
Sure.
Yeah, because the male can look completely normal and the sperm count is low. Yeah. So and then in the older age groups, in the early 30s, there's ladies with ovulation issues, as well as again the unexplained. There's always this group that is unexplained where you can't find any problems. Yeah. So this group is particularly difficult. And then of course there are the ones above 35 or near their 40s or even above 40s where they are really facing essentially a decline in their egg count and egg quality as well.
So it's different age groups and different problems. So even in younger couples, because a lot of us think, oh, we're going to build our careers. We've just got married. We can wait a few years. We'll build our careers. We'll make sure we have enough money before we even start thinking about having a child. And that may not necessarily be the right choice.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Now, could you share more details on what fertility treatments are like? I mean, you're right. You know, most of us know nothing about this before we've had our children. And we go to the internet for answers. And maybe a lot of the answers that we could find are wrong answers, or we misinterpret them. So why don't you set the record straight for us?
Okay. So in terms of fertility health treatment, obviously they are directed at whatever issues that the couple faces. So first they will have the fertility health check. But in terms of the various fertility treatment options, there is generally medications to induce ovulation in the women who are not ovulating.
Mm-hmm.
There is also the option of intrauterine insemination, or what we call IUI.
Mm-hmm.
So that is usually coupled together with some medications to induce ovulation as well. So it's a combination of supraovulation as well as intrauterine insemination, where basically we spin the sperm down, concentrate it, and put it much nearer the eggs directly right in the womb. And then that is it's a simple form of treatment. It just helps augment natural chances by increasing the sperm density around the egg at the time of ovulation. So it's it still relies very much on natural fertilization. Pregnancy is still very much naturally conceived in a way. Then the other option, of course, is IVF, which is in vitro fertilization, or what you call test tube baby. Basically, the eggs are extracted directly from the woman's ovaries, and then the sperm is then most of the time it's injected directly into the egg to fertilize it, and then the resultant embryo is subsequently transferred back into the womb. So these are the various options. There is also one which most people are not really aware of, which is actually surgery to try and treat certain conditions like fibroids, blocked tubes or endometriosis in order to increase natural chances of pregnancy or to increase the chances of success of IVF.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that when a couple comes to you and they have been trying to have a child for a while and it hasn't happened for them, that when you do your fertility check, you assess for these things, polyps and endometriosis, etc.
Yes, that's right. So for the woman, the check usually consists of a scan as well as some blood tests to check for ovulation, to check her egg reserves. And for the man, it is mainly the semen analysis or the sperm check.
All right. And most couples probably don't know this coming into that first consult with you.
Yes, that's right. And actually, a lot of it is they are not sure when to try, or they have been trying at the wrong periods of time. I wouldn't say wrong, but less chances of conceiving, or they're not maximizing the window of fertility.
Right. Okay. So, give us an idea. When a couple comes to you with fertility issues, they've been trying for a while, it's not been successful. What are some of their earliest concerns? What do they know in general, and what should they know coming to see you?
Generally, a lot of them, they would have started tracking their cycles already. So mm-hmm. if you have not, and you're planning to do a fertility health check, please start to track your cycles so then you can offer more information to the doctor when you see them. The doctor should run through what various checks are necessary after that.
Right.
And then go through the results with you. So that part is still all right. So mainly it's just being aware in general of what you have been doing and how you have been trying and all that, and offer this information to the doctor. Also, sometimes we see a group of patients who are, they have been seeing other doctors or other clinics, or, you know, so they have had checks done elsewhere before. It may be some time ago, but essentially all this information would also be useful. So if you have all these reports, you should bring them forward.
Does it change? Does the information that they should have for you change depending on their age group?
Yes, indeed, definitely. We are generally, there's more urgency in the older ladies, especially if they're above 35. It's not like 35 is this magic age cutoff or anything. In general, above 30, that we do expect a decline in natural fertility. So in terms of the time factor and urgency for treatment, what I'll offer to the patients might be a bit different in terms of the time frame.
Okay, now, you know, speaking as a parent myself, and, you know, remembering what it was like for my husband and I when we were starting to plan for a family, if we hit a road bump, I don't think we necessarily would have known when to come and seek professional assistance, professional help, medical assistance. What should a couple know? How long?
Yes.
When do they need to come and talk to you?
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. Because a lot of couples, their tendency is to say that they have been trying, but maybe not so much trying, maybe on off trying or something like that, because they are not very sure exactly how long they've been actively trying, because they don't even know what active trying is.
Right.
Yeah, so essentially, active trying means that you have tracked the cycles, you have determined when your ovulation window, which is about 5 to 7 days before your predicted ovulation is, and then you start trying every other day from there until the time where you think you have ovulated. So that is active trying. And if you have been doing this essentially for about a year, for the younger ladies below 30, I think that's when you really need to go and see somebody. And if you're above 30, generally, I think if you've been doing this for 6 months, you could go and see someone. Yeah, because in general, the natural conception rate per cycle, if you're below 30 and you're 25, 26, it's actually about 25% per cycle, yes. And if you're above 30, the conception rate does drop. And if you're above 40, it goes, the natural conception rate goes to 5%, yes. But even though I say that, and therefore you should be concerned if you're not like pregnant faster when you are younger. Mm. However, the time factor, there is a difference, because even when you're younger, in terms of financially and other considerations as well, you will not be resorting to IVF. Yeah, you will still always be looking at natural chances for the time being. Yeah, so therefore you still have a longer time frame for before seeking help.
Okay. Now, I suppose one of the questions that couples will want an answer to is, what is a realistic outcome that they should be looking at or expect when undergoing treatment, and what kind of timelines are they looking at before they are successful in conceiving?
So, in general, if they are doing ovulation induction alone with medications, then about 6 cycles of ovulation induction should achieve pregnancy. Otherwise, yes, you should try to move on. If you're doing IUIs, generally, about up to 3 cycles of IUIs would be so-called the optimal already. I mean, because IUI, we strive to optimize the cycle as best as possible for to increase your natural chances of fertilization. So if usually up to 3 cycles don't work, generally you can move on. Okay. And then for IVF, yeah. So each cycle of IUI, pregnancy rates are about, it's usually quoted 15 to 20%. Mm-hmm. For IVF, it is about 30 to 40% per cycle. Yeah, it seems low, but as I mentioned, the natural conception rate per cycle is not very high for us. I mean, for humans in general, our natural conception rate is low.
Okay, so realistically, you could be trying with professional and medical assistance for almost up to a year.
Mm-hmm. For those who are younger.
For those who are younger. All right.
Mm. But it's always okay to come for a fertility health check early on, even before trying, mm-hmm. just to make sure that there are no early problems detected, and to give yourself time. Yeah, in this case, early detection saves time.
Saves money, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Now, I'm assuming that a couple trying to conceive and having these roadblocks in their conception plan are going to be under some level of stress. What is the importance of spousal support through this journey? And how do you help them, you know, through all these challenges and stresses? I'm sure that it weighs mentally and emotionally.
It definitely does. I mean, if you think about it, how happy and surprised you are when you have a pregnancy positive test. You can imagine the opposite when every month they're getting a negative or their menses comes. So it can be very, very, disheartening. So the thing is, it's obviously important for spousal support. I mean, because it takes 2 to make a baby. Mm-hmm. It's not just a single person. So it's teamwork. There's also a lot of time commitment in terms of coming forth for appointments and everything. Unfortunately, the thing about the fertility treatment is that most of the burden of the treatment is actually on the wife. Because, I mean, even though, yes, it's, some husbands do find it difficult to, produce a specimen on demand and things like that. But in general, a lot of the medications, the procedures and everything is performed on the wife. So, unfortunately, that is the problem with fertility treatment. So it's very, very important that the husband lends a lot more mental and emotional support for the wife to go through all these things. And then not only is the communication and support between the partner important, also the communication and support, I think, between the doctor and the couple, as well as all the staff in the fertility center where they're getting treated at. I think all this plays a part in really making the journey, just in general, more pleasant.
Less stressful.
Less stressful and less anxious for the couple, because if the staff at the center can offer a good and prompt replies in terms of support, in terms of their questions and any clarifications and all that, I think it does help allay a lot of their concerns and reassures the couple. I mean, we're dealing with a treatment with, I mean, if you want to put it 30, 40% success rate, that means more than 50% disappointment.
Right.
I think a lot of, actually these couples will form the majority of the patient load. So these are the couples that actually require more support. Mm.
And, you know, the simple fact of the matter is we are Asians also. So there is an additional burden on the females because mother-in-laws and et cetera, aunts, will always look to the wife for what's wrong with you.
Yes. I'm glad to say that this stigma is actually more and more, you see that less and less nowadays, that a lot more people are actually aware that fertility is not just a woman's issue now. Yeah, so that's a good thing, actually. Yeah, so we see less and less of that stigma.
Good.
And more people coming forward. Mm.
That is good. That is a good development. I'm very happy to hear that. Now, before we run out of time, do you have any advice for couples facing challenges conceiving who haven't yet gone to see a fertility doctor?
Yeah, so definitely make their time and effort to at least do the first fertility health check, find out more about your own body. And then subsequently, even information on how to try is actually useful from a professional. And then subsequently, after that, if you are undergoing any fertility treatment and all that, I think having patience and also being open in terms of discussing your goals and having any clarifications with the doctor as well as your partner, having open communication. That is very important. And then finally, don't give up. If, let's say, really there hasn't been anything found to deem you infertile, then there's always a chance every cycle.
All right. Great, hopeful way to end our conversation. We've been speaking with Dr. Janice Tung, consultant ONG at Thompson Fertility Center. Doctor, thank you so much for the time and the information.
No problem. Thank you, Clarissa. Thank you for the invitation.
It's been quite enlightening, I have to say. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. You're with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.